I am trying my best to enjoy the day because we got to talk about prayer. And I have been beat up this week. Ooh. I don't know what it is about this sermon, but the enemy does not like what we're going to talk about today. And he has been allowing us to know that for a fact. Acts, please. Go to Acts chapter 13. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word, to see you. Thank you for what you want to accomplish and what you want to do through your servant. Mold me, Lord. Mold me according to your word. Mold this church according to your word. May we never be the same, Lord, as we hear your word today, especially the challenge to become a praying church. And we thank you for those that are here, those that will hear, and those that will change after they hear their life. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3, I want to show you. Antioch, who are we? If you missed two or three of the weeks that we've been giving this in between our series, I encourage you to get the other tapes so that you can see that we are a church that is based off of the Antioch in Syria. The church. Antioch in Kirkland is one of the churches. But the church for how we should be is expelled and explained, I should say, in the book of Acts. Beginning with verse 1, and now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers of Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I don't know, but, you know, I think that means they fasted and they prayed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Verse 3 is going to verify that very thing, but it says they fasted. The Holy Spirit, those that was at Gideon's posse Friday night. Can I look for a few good men? When you found out that you can follow the big S or you can follow the little S. The big S is the Holy Spirit. The little S is your spirit. And oftentimes we're more filled with the small S than we are the big S. Even Superman was smart enough to have a big S. Can I have an amen on it? And one of these days when we have some time, the pastor want to tell you about what he came up with if Superman was black. Remind me one day we got some time. I want to tell you about Super My Man. We're talking about the big S. Which S is that, my man?
That's the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. A fast, and the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. I want to know, how does the Holy Spirit tell you? How did the Holy Spirit call them? How does the Holy Spirit call you? Because he's still in the same business.
Yes, sir.
You know, with all the cell phones and things we got, we think there's some people sitting around, man, and they're having conversations out loud with God and the Holy Spirit. We got some rooms for people like that.
Yes, sir.
But the Holy Spirit still talks. And the question is, do you know when he's talking to you? What he's saying to you? We're going to get into that in a few minutes because that's essential in prayer. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. There's a lot of people in the church sometimes I would like to lay my hands on.
Yes, sir.
But I can't use this verse to justify. Can I have an amen? Because I'm an expository pastor, preacher, and I got to keep it in the context. But I sure would like to have some. I like to have a little impositional preaching sometime so I can make it say what I wanted to say. But we'll get back to praying. As we fasted and we prayed and we laid hands on them, they sent them away to go throughout the known land of the time to take the example of the church at Antioch on how the bride should look. You know what it's like and would be like to be a praying man? A praying woman? I mean a serious praying man and woman. The enemy don't want us to talk about this whole issue of prayer because that's where all the power of heaven is released. Can you imagine in our time today that we need to be a praying church? We need to have praying men, praying women that can pray and God moves because you pray. There are some things that we're going to talk about. But I was thinking about the whole process of how can I have an example to compare with what I was preaching. And last night while I was preparing for the last aspect of preaching this morning, I received an email from that heavy theologian, feminine theologian in the church. And if you don't like this, blame Mary Kay or the theologian that was sent it to me. Right in the middle of getting ready for God, this was sent to me and I cracked up. I heard it over 2 years ago. I saw this and read it. But every time I read it, I am on the floor. Only a man would attempt this. That's the title. Okay, that's just the title. That's not what I'm saying. Because I believe we men have a little bit more going for us than this guy. Only a man would attempt this, called pocket taser stun gun. A great gift for the wife. A guy who purchased his lovely wife, a pocket taser for their anniversary, submitted this story of what happened. He says, last weekend, I saw something at Larry's Pistol and Pawn Shop. You know it's already starting wrong. That sparked my interest. The occasion was our 15th anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Julie. What I came across was a 100,000-volt pocket purse size taser. And you guys know I got to be feeling better to be reading off this little bitty thing.
Yes, sir. Praise God.
You know, some people, man, they got a way they can put their finger on it and spread it like that to get bigger. I don't have one of those. This is really tiny. And I got to be full of the Spirit to be able to get through this story. The effects of the taser was supposed to be short-lived, with no long-term adverse effect on the assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Feeling good, ladies? Maybe we ought to get y'all one. It's way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded 2 AAA batteries in the darn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, as I read that if you push the button and press it against a metal surface at the same time, I get the blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome! Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Julie what the 2 burn spots are on her microwave. Okay. So I was home alone with the new toy, thinking to myself that it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries in it, right? There I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking on intently. Yes, yes, a man would think of that. Be the first thing go through a man's mind, the cat. I must admit, I thought about zapping Gracie for a fraction of a second, and then I thought better of it. She is such a sweet cat, trusting in everything. But if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect herself against a mugger, I did want some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? He said, anyway, is he wrong? Oh, you won't prove. You're protecting your wife. So there I sat in a pair of shorts and a tank top with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose, direction in one hand and the taser in the other. The direction said that a one-second burst would shock and disorient your assailant. A two-second burst was supposed to cause muscle spasm and a major loss of bodily control. And a three-second burst would purportedly make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. To any burst longer than 3 seconds is just wasting batteries. All the while, I'm looking at this little device measuring about 5 inches long, less than 3/4 of an inch in circumference, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries. Pretty cute, too, really. And thinking to myself, ain't no way this thing can really shock you. What happened next is almost beyond description. But I will do my best to explain it to you. I touched the prong to my naked thigh, pushed the button. Holy mother of God, weapons of mass destruction. Don't what? I woke up and I was pretty sure that Hulk Hogan had run through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, then body slammed us both on the carpet over and over again. I vaguely really recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, my body soaking wet, both nipples were on fire, testicles, I don't know where they went, with my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position I've ever seen in my life. My legs was tingling. The cat was making meow sounds I had never heard before. Cat was clinging to a picture frame hanging above the fireplace. Obviously, in an attempt to avoid getting slammed by my body flopping all over the living room. Note to self. If you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. See, you will not let go of that thing until it is dislodged from your hand by a violent thrashing about on the floor with your body. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. A minute or so later, I can't be sure how time really wasn't working at that time. I collected my wits on the ones I had left, sat up and surveyed the landscape. My bent reading glasses was on the mantle of the fireplace. The recliner was upside down, about 8 feet or so from where we started. My triceps, my right thigh, both nipples were all still burning. My face felt like I had been shot up with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed about 88 pounds. That explains all the drooling that I can't control. Apparently, I had messed all over myself, but was too numb to know for sure, and my sense of smell was absolutely gone. I saw a faint smoke cloud around my head, and I think that was my hair burning. I'm still looking for what the man says, and I'm offering a significant reward if you would please return them safely. P.S. My wife can't stop laughing about my experience. She loved the gift, and now she regularly threatens me with it. If you think education is difficult, try being stupid. He said, Pastor, what did they have to do with today? I'm glad you asked, because I got an answer for you. Do you know what's more stupid than that guy? A Christian that don't pray. You know what's more stupid than that guy? A Christian that don't pray regularly. You know what's stupid than that guy? A Christian that think that you should be the middle of your prayer. You know what's more stupid than that guy? A Christian that think they can pray without being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you give up in prayer if you don't know how to pray? Do you know what we can do to the world if we were a praying church? And the only way to become a praying church is to be a praying people. I have committed my life to the point where I will not allow anything in my life to remove me from being able to pray with confidence and the power that comes with a man or a woman who truly belongs to God. You know what's stupid than that guy? When you think you should be mentioned more in your prayer than God or somebody else. You see, if we really know how to pray, I really don't have to pray for me. You see, we love one another. I don't have to pray for me because you're going to pray for me. And you don't have to pray for you because I'm going to pray for you. Should we just close in prayer right now, or should we keep going for a little bit? I don't know if you really want to keep going. We see what happened with the praying church in Antioch up in Syria. They changed the world. We're still talking about it. We're still looking like it. We're still being reminded how powerful a church that prays can be. Turn with me to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to read something to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Are you there with me? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Double seven, and what do you get? 14. That's the verse you want to look at. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, double seven, verse 14. If my people, talk to me. Are we his people? Come on, talk to the pastor. Y'all are not excited. Y'all are scared I'm going to tell you something that's going to convict you, and then you're going to have to change your life. Don't worry about it. If you're walking with God, praise him for it. If you're not, change. Amen. And don't go home and pray about changing. That's the one thing I don't want you to pray about. Do the change. If my people, Christians, who are called by my name, Christ-like one, little Christ walking around living the life, shall humble themselves and learn how to join church, learn how to go to seminary and get a degree, humble myself and get in a good Bible study, get in an accountability group. Now all those things are good, but they are not the things that's going to change the world with people that are called by his name. Prayer. Holy prayer from a holy person. Question, do you pray? And if you pray, do you pray correctly? Well, Pastor, I mean, you're good at telling us what we should do or what we're not doing. Won't you tell us how to do it? I'm glad you said that. because that's what we're going to do. I wanted to get this done in 1 week, but it was impossible because I tell you, it's just too much. So we're going to jump on prayer again. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Whose face? Our face, right? We got to seek our desire. We got to seek my. I love me, and I want me in my prayer all the time. Maybe that's why your prayer life is anemic and weak and no power in it. Well, Pastor, you're talking about prayer and you're talking about power. You're sick. How's your prayers helped? My prayers and my faith is not to heal me. I'm sick because you don't have enough faith. Ooh, did I sneak that one in, Joe? Bam! No. See, praying without me being a sinner lets me know that I belong to God and he can do anything he wants with me. And I still remain the same. That's power. No physical thing can get me down. Talk to me. No person, what they say, can make me, oh, I'm so weak. That ain't good prayer. That's not a good prayer life right there. Woo! What else did he say? What else did he say? Ooh, and you seek my face. Turn from your wicked way. Ooh, anybody here want to know what your wicked ways are? What makes a wicked way? One sin. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How many sins make a wicked way?
One.
One sin makes you unrighteous. And then will I hear you from heaven. This got me excited. Woo! In the Old Testament, man, if they prayed and prayed right and humbled themselves, God would hear them from heaven. I mean, isn't that something else? Guess what? It's much better than the New Testament. God was in the third heavens, and very few people had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He may give it to you. He may give it to you. May give it to someone over there. Oh, there's two or three back there. Ah, I see one there. Ah, I see somebody back. The only ones that had the Holy Spirit is given selectively. And if you messed up, God took it. So all the time you had to pray, and God had to hear it from heaven. But guess what about today? He lives inside us. How do I know he lives? How do I know he loves? Sit right here. How many of you guys have ever prayed here in the New Testament in this church and you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? Don't look like they're getting anywhere. Shame on you. They don't have to make it to the ceiling. Just to your heart. That's where he's abiding. That's where he's taking his residence. Bam! If you think it's powerful about coming from heaven, what do you think about it? Revving up inside of you and I. That's excitement. And he says, then I will hear you and I will save your land. I will heal your land. I just want to ask you a question. Is it okay? Did I ask you a question? The way our world is today, do we need to be a praying church?
Yes.
A church that God hears?
Yes.
With the way the world is, do we need to be a praying people?
Yes.
With the way things are going, falling apart all over the place. Scripture is being fulfilled every day of the prophecies. What was said in the Old Testament was said in the New Testament about what the world is going to be like. But I have read and I have studied Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21. You know what I can't find? I can't find in any of those verses that it has to happen on our watch. You know why it's going to happen on the Christian's watch? That's when it's going to happen on? Because we're not a praying people. For God to delay his judgment, to get more people in the kingdom. Oh, my land. I wish I could stop there, but I got a lot more. We want to take some time to pray today. Because I want you to walk out of here thinking about what you've heard and get ready for what you're going to hear. Turn with me to the book of Romans. For some reason, I feel really lifted up today in the book of Romans. Some of you get that on the way home. Romans chapter 8. Anyone know what the center issue is in Romans chapter 8? What is the main topic of Romans chapter 8? Living in the Spirit. Can anyone tell me, is that big S or little S? Oh, you're not that excited. Anyhow, I'm looking for a few good men. To do what?
Stand
in the big S, not the small S. And we got too many Christians and too many churches that's standing with the small S and doing what they think is right from their own heart. The heart is wicked. No man knows it. Deceiving all the way to the second to third generation. I'm going to walk through this real quick. Verse 1, Spirit. Verse 2, Spirit. Verse 4, Spirit. Verse 5, Spirit, Spirit. Ooh, double Spirit there. Verse 9, Spirit. Spirit, Spirit. Triple Spirit. 9, 10, Spirit. 11, Spirit. Spirit, 2 times. 13, Spirit. 14, Spirit. 15, Spirit. 16, Spirit. I got a question. Verse 23, Spirit. Do you think this chapter wants you to concentrate on the Spirit? Which S? Now let's get to verse 26 and 27 of Romans 8. Some of the most misquoted, misunderstood, misbelieved. I wish it was missed. Just plain missed the way some people try to teach verse 26 and 27 in the book of Romans chapter 8. It is just flat out wrong how they try to make this. They try to make verse 26 and 27 talk about a spiritual prayer. It is one spirit-led prayer, praying in the spirit, otherwise known as praying in tongues. Now, it sounds good. It's only one thing wrong. It's a lie. That is a lie. That teaching is a lie. Did anyone hear me? Did I stutter? And I am willing to be changed. You know what I say? Anytime you can tell me by scripture where I'm wrong, I will immediately change what I say. Come, be prayed up, but bring the word. Don't bring your examples. Bring the word. Anybody can have an experience. Bring the word. And I want you to be ready. If you prove to me, I'm going to change by using the word. But if I use the word and prove to you you're wrong, I expect the same thing from you. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray. What? They said, we don't even know what to pray for. Oh, that is a big cut. Don't you think that's a big put down? We don't even know what to pray. Well, I guess the Bible says, I guess it's true. But the Spirit himself, if you have an old King James, that is very misquoted. It says the Spirit itself. It was been translated correctly. The Spirit is not an it, it is a him. But the Spirit himself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I wish we had time to get in that. We're going to get into it next week. And he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of the saints. No? I read that wrong. How y'all know? You looking at Bibles? Oh, my land. A church bring their Bibles with them. Dangerous place. the will of God. You know why our prayer life is so weak at times? We can pray and the will of God is not even mentioned. You know what's more stupid than this guy I read about? To pray and think that you can go to God with an unclean heart, with unconfessed sins. God don't need us to pray. We need to pray to find out what it's all about with him. And if the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father isn't involved with your prayer, it's a waste of prayer. The Trinity must be involved when you pray. Should I explain that a little bit? Now, I'm going to go with Jesus. I don't know what all people go, well, you know, well, you ought to pray that you can pray to Jesus. Well, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Well, you need to pray to God the Father. You know, well, guess what? I'm going to go with Jesus. Is it safe to always go with Jesus? Yes. If you don't know an answer, a Bible question someone asks you, what's the safest answer? Jesus. Don't matter what the question is, the answer is Jesus. Jesus says, I want to teach you how to pray. They ask Jesus how to pray. And Matthew, it says, it's the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. Folks, that's the disciples' prayer. That's our prayer. If you want to know the Lord's Prayer, go to John 17. Spend some time in John 17. You'll find out what the Lord's Prayer is. Smoke it! But in Matthew, he says, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That will be done. Is all that in your prayer? When you pray, is that in there? Huh? Are you praying to the Father? That's who you pray to. You can mention Jesus. You can mention the Holy Spirit. But he says, if you mention the Holy Spirit says, ah, look at Jesus. If you mention Jesus, ah, look at the Father. So I'm going with Jesus. When you pray to the Father. You can't pray to the Father unless you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. You can't be controlled by the Holy Spirit because if you don't have your sins unconfessed, if you don't have your sins confessed, he won't hear you. That's right. Psalm 66:18, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. And you can't go to Jesus and pray in Jesus' name if you're not controlled by the Spirit and have no sins. And then the Son would say, ooh, in Jesus' name. How many of you? Oh, man, we're going. Tyrone, get ready, brother. Because we're going to pray before we get out of here. We need to pray. You see, I don't really believe anyone really knows what it means to pray in Jesus' name. I think we say it all the time. Can I have an amen? In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you understand what you're saying? It's like having a radio on. You know it's on, but you're just not paying attention to it. And when you pray and don't know how to pray in Jesus' name, it's like a radio to God. It don't even get to him because you're doing rituals. God says prayer is not a ritual. It's not a religious act. It's a relationship with God Almighty. Yes. Let me see if I can explain it to you as we close, what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Can I do that? How many of you remember the Puyallup affair? Talk to me. Yeah. You remember the Puyallup Fair? Yeah. When I was feeling better, and I'm getting to feel better and better every day, so I may go to the Puyallup Fair this year, go down and mess up. But, yeah, I used to really enjoy and love the Puyallup Fair until I had kids. We just want to be honest. Because after you have kids, you can't be a kid anymore at the fair. Yeah. You got to be a parent. Yeah. What's up with that? Just turn them loose. Put a GPS on them. Find them a couple of days later. But I don't know, man. People expect you to be a good parent. They expect you to keep up with your kids. They expect you to go where they want to go, do what they want to do. Not me. And Dad, don't do rides. Amen? Gonna go. You know, the kind of rides did not grow up in my neighborhood. The kind of rides I had in my neighborhood go. Some people know what that meant, you know, on the right side of the track. Get that hood up. All my rides had hydraulics. Can I have an amen on that? When they start making circles ride with hydraulics, I may start riding. Because it gets low to the ground, because if I fall, I don't want to hurt myself. So we would go to the Piala Fair. And then they came up with this ticket thing. Remember that? You can just go and you pay for the ride. And kids get on, but oh, no, they, oh, we're going to give you a discount if you buy enough tickets to make a suit. And with four kids, man, you have so many tickets. They was everywhere. Everywhere. And you would go up to the line, and your kids would come by, and you take off the whole novel that you have, and you tear four tickets. Used to be two tickets. Did you know that? Remember that? Two tickets. That's when I was a parent without kids. It was two tickets. Then when they got kids, man, they got the four tickets. I think this year, man, probably with the economy, they're going to go up to six tickets. And I'm going to watch my kids because I'm going to enjoy it because they're old enough to go by themselves and pay for themselves. Can I have an amen? That's what I'm talking about. But when they were smaller, we would get in line. And all the kids would line up, patting out here, and Faith would come back. Psst. Break off four tickets. Enjoy the ride, baby. Here come Avery. Psst. Break off four tickets. Miss Socialite. Eee, thanks, Daddy. Faith, she's already in line. She could care less. Give me the ticket. Here comes Sherman. Always cheesing. Give him four tickets. Here comes Curtis. You owe me them four tickets. Give them here. So I'm sitting, and you know, we're standing, we're watching the kids, and I happen to turn around and look, and there's this little white kid standing in front of me. I look at him. Get my tickets. Who are you? Where's your parents? And then all of a sudden, you know, I almost gave him a ticket. He was looking so sad. I almost gave him four tickets. I started folding my tickets up, putting it in the pocket like, I ain't got nothing. You know, you don't do that to a bear either. Don't feed a bear and then pretend like you ain't got no more and put it in your pocket. You end up with no pocket and something else. Look, he wouldn't move. He was determined. I'm going, man, what in the world? And all of a sudden, here comes Sherman. Back down the ramp. Hey, Daddy. Yeah, son. That's my friend. That almost got me. That almost got me, man. But then he said this. I just met him in line. And he didn't have any tickets. But I told him my dad's got tickets. And if I ask my dad, he'll give them to you. Now, as a father, what do you think I did? I just gave him the whole novel. You see, that kid didn't deserve anything from me. He wasn't my kid. Let's get that straight. Get it? Can I get an amen? I don't have no nun Hutchinsons running around somewhere. I got several Hutchinsons. I'm trying to take my name back, but other than that, that boy did not deserve a ticket. I had no obligation to give it to him. But when my son came, and he came in my son's name, Daddy gave up the ticket. And if you don't understand that's what you're doing when you're praying, you have lost a major power in your life.